Since 1889, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service has been a trusted name in the Richland Center area, providing compassionate care and support for families during difficult times. For assistance, call 608-647-4808. Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, trusted by the community for over 135 years.
Group ABC's Mola Lenghi in Boulder with more on the 45-year-old suspect, Mohammed Solomon.
He was born in Egypt and lived in Kuwait for 17 years before moving to Colorado Springs 3 years ago with his wife and five kids. According to authorities, he confessed he had been planning the attack for a year and was waiting until after his daughter graduated. Now, the FBI processing evidence seized from his home.
Lawmakers in the Senate now have the sweeping budget and tax bill that passed by a single vote in the House. Many Republicans say they're concerned about how much it could add to the federal deficit. This is ABC News. One of the men who escaped from a New Orleans jail may have showed up on Instagram this week.
Law enforcers are working to verify that the video is of Antoine Massey, one of two inmates still on the run. In the post, the man with facial tattoos that match Massey's claims that he's been unjustly jailed.
I'm asking for help from the world.
Including from rappers and the president.
Lil Wayne, Young Boy.
Meanwhile, more than a dozen people have been charged with helping the 10 inmates to escape or to elude capture. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
FBI offering a $25,000 reward for information leading to the capture of Grant Hardin, the former Arkansas police chief turned murderer who police say got out of prison 9 days ago. Search teams using skimmers, pickaxes, shovels, and chainsaws to clear an area in Portugal as they continue their long search for Madeleine McCann, the little girl who disappeared from her parents' hotel room in 2007. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
They say the more things change, the more they stay the same, and that's certainly true at the Phoenix Center, a longtime favorite in Richland County. It remains the go-to destination for bowling, great food, and lasting memories. It's where friends gather, laughs are shared, and good times roll, literally. Open Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. and closed on Sundays. The Phoenix Center continues to serve up favorites like their legendary pizza and friendly atmosphere. Call 649-7469 for more information or carry out at the Phoenix Center.
WRCO Hometown Weather Watch is sponsored by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765 and learn how to buy a home without needing 20% down.
Rain likely today, a high of 75. South to southwest winds becoming northwesterly at 5 to 15. Tonight, periods of rain ending late, a low of 54. Wednesday, clouds mixing with sun and a high of 77. Thursday, partly sunny, showers possible late at night, a high of 78. And Friday, 74 with scattered showers likely.
Are you looking for a rewarding part-time job? Cobasin is currently hiring for part-time trip drivers for school sports and field trips, and to drive a shuttle to Spring Green 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. weeknights. Starting trip pay is $17. You get paid for the entire time you are gone, even the wait time. For questions, call Bev Lau at 647-4446 or stop by the Richland Center Cobasin Terminal off Highway 14 beside TC Auto Works.
The newest evolution of Farmall elevates performance, comfort, and styling. To continue the legacy of this legendary tractor, the new Farmall Medium Utility C-Series features four models that combine power and technology for use on the farm and in the field. Field ops connectivity enables geolocation and remote monitoring of machine functions, while a heavy-duty front axle, increased hydraulic flow, and more rear lift capacity provide the power to handle more work with ease. Case IH, built by farmers. Stop by Johnson Tractor in Richland Center today to find out more about the all-new Farmall C.
Hey there, Boscobel and beyond. Get ready for Gina and Annie's summer vendor event happening Sunday, June 8th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. in beautiful downtown Boscobel. From handcrafted goods to local treasures, delicious food trucks to tasty treats, there's something for everyone. Bring the entire family, stroll the amazing vendor booths, and enjoy some good old-fashioned summer fun. Whether you're shopping, snacking, or just soaking in the vibe, this is one event you won't want to miss. Gina and Annie's Summer Vendor Event, Sunday, June 8th in downtown Boscobel. We'll see you there.
Welcome to Richland Family Restaurant Studios, where great music and good times meet.
Summer, summer, summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
The Morning Show on WRCO FM 100.9 and WRCO.com, featuring real community conversations that matter to our community. The WRCO Morning Show studio is proudly sponsored by Richland Hospital, caring for the health of our community. Scott Industries, enjoy building strong futures. Osborne Stump Removal, clearing the way for what's next. And Sean's Auto Repair, keeping you on the road with service you can trust. Welcome to the Morning Show on WRCO Radio. Great to have in the studio some representatives of local FFAs, and we're going to talk about the Proficiency Awards and some of the great things coming up this summer and some of the projects FFA students are involved in. And we're going to start with Melissa Sprecher, advisor for the Ithaca FFA. Melissa, good to have you in the studio today.
Good morning, Phil. Thanks for having us today.
It's been another successful year for area FFAs, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. We've had a great year. You know, all the local FFAs have been very busy doing everything from competing in contests to community service work and, you know, just bettering their community and growing these awesome leaders that we have. And it's been an awesome year, and wrapping it up next week with our state convention.
That's awesome. Talk about proficiency awards and how prestigious those are.
Sure. So what the proficiency awards are is for those of us who are 4-H alumni, they're kind of like a record book, but even more in depth than what a 4-H record book would be. So the students have a project, whatever it might be. A lot of times we think in this area about livestock, but there's other ones as well, like egg sales and different things like that. And what they do is they basically fill out an application where they have to tell somebody their entire story of what their project is, because most of these judges don't know them. So it's everything from how they got started, why they got started, their biggest challenge, how did they face that, what did they do to work through it, trends in the industry, all the way through efficiency factors and, you know, ways that they can improve different things in their project. Talking about, you know, different things with financials. They have very in-depth financials over several years. Most of them, I think the girls over here have like 5 to 6 years worth of, you know, financial records. Their accomplishments within the project, and then they have different photos that they have to talk about as well that they put into the project to kind of give a visual of what they're doing. But one thing I've noticed about these kids is they all do so many things in their project. They're busy kids and they really achieve a lot, but they're very humble. And so for to get them to talk about all the awesome things that they do in it, sometimes you got to really kind of pull that out from them. For instance, like sometimes kids will maybe within their project, they help with younger kids, like as a mentor, and they don't put that in that application. It's like, oh, but you've been mentoring. Oh, it's not that big of a deal. I just do it. No, it is a big deal. That's part of your project and you need to tell your story. So very in-depth applications. I think most of my kids from my school are like, they're anywhere from 20 to 27 pages long. So they're very in-depth. And like an inventory too, they have to keep track of their, you know, current inventory, non-current inventory. So they learn a lot about not only how to tell their story and to talk about ways they can improve different things, but also they learn a lot about on the accounting end as well.
Really good preparation for later in life, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yep. So these kids submit these applications in January. They are judged in March, and then the top five for each division go on to state, and then at the state convention, they announce on stage which one is our state finalist, and the state finalists then will go on to nationals.
Will the area be well represented at state convention?
Yeah, we have several, and I'll just talk about the three from Ithaca, and then we have some from Riverdale as well that we'll discuss here in a little bit. But the three we have from Ithaca is Annabeth Sprecher is a finalist again for Swine Placement. She was a finalist last year and was third, so we're hoping that we can get her up there in that first position. Josie Lau last year placed with the Equine Placement. This year she switched over to Entrepreneurship, is what she owns the project, and so she's a state finalist in that. And then Maggie Kirshner for the first time filled one out this year, and she's also a state finalist for Equine Entrepreneurship.
Great. And you put the invitation out for Riverdale students today as well.
Yes, we did.
Good to have them in here. And who should show up but Carter Degenhart. Mm-hmm. Good morning, Carter. How are you?
Not too bad, you?
Great to have you in here today. So you're wrapping up your junior season, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And yep. Tell me about FFA and the things that you're involved in.
I'm involved in football and baseball and powerlifting, but I do a lot of FFA stuff. I spend most of my time out at the school farm helping around there, more cleaning trails up and checking crops, all that stuff.
Yeah, that's one of the things that makes the Riverdale chapter quite unique, is you have the farm. How are the crops coming out there?
Oh, they're coming in good.
Uh-huh.
Didn't think they were going to do so hot, and then we got some good rain, so they all came up pretty good, and all of our sandy spots were pretty wetted down, so they came in pretty good.
Good. Maybe some rain today. Maybe that'll help you out a little bit. Tell me about your project.
For my project, I did my dad's tire business. I work with my dad a lot. We do a lot of farm tires, implement tires mainly. I spend most of my time in the shop doing the tires for mostly bale wagons in the summer and balers and all that fun stuff. Sometimes a tractor tire, front tractor tire.
Never for a lack of business. I'm sure you stay busy, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my dad knows a lot of people, so I get a lot of customers coming in.
And, you know, you talk about weightlifting in preparation for football. You get it naturally, don't you?
Yep.
So that's awesome. So tell me about then, were you documenting this project through the FFA? And tell us a little bit about that then.
Yeah, so I basically just had to, I talked about how I changed tires and how the whole process works. And but a lot of the stuff I do is mainly just with farm equipment. Most of the time people just bring them in because they blow a tire out or get a nice chunk taken out of their tire. They can't really go anywhere with it, so they bring it in. Otherwise, my dad goes out and gets it for them.
It's never at an opportune time either. It's right in the middle of the field usually, right?
Yeah.
So are you going to be an officer for Riverdale this next year?
This will be my third year being an officer, and I'm coming in as president this year.
All right, good. So can you tell me about goals that you'd like to see for this year?
I'd like to see our membership come up again. We did pretty good. We got 98 members this year, and throughout the year we gained like 6 or 8, so we ended up with 105 members, which is a good chunk of our school. I mean, a lot of the kids that are in it are involved and want to join and do other stuff with it and usually take it places. You know. So this year we had a few kids from that graduated last year that got American degrees, so we're pretty happy about that.
Yeah, I talked with Callie Coe at the end of the school year as well, but it seemed like things went really well. You were restoring an old tractor this year. How did that go?
That went pretty good. They just got it running yesterday, actually.
Really?
Yep. We got it all put together, and it looks nice and runs pretty good.
What kind is it? Putting you on the spot here.
It's a Case. It's an older one. I think it's a 30s.
Oh, wow.
Case, yeah.
So it is a real old-timer then.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Does it have tires?
Yeah.
Okay. Some of them had steel wheels back then.
But, yeah.
Anyway. Well, good. So you're looking ahead at that. The summer projects, you got some things going on this summer?
Yeah. So next week we'll be at state convention and get wrapped up there with our proficiency stuff. And then we'll move into some of our other activities. We'll have our officer retreat. But we'll be at some kiddie pedal pulls for some events like Autumn Fest and for Lone Rock, too.
Help out with that.
Yep.
Sure. And then in terms of the farm, do you have assignments, people that have to do some work during the summer as well on the farm?
Yeah, so we have three farm managers. Two farm managers and a forest manager. I'm the forest manager, and I do most of make sure all the trailers are clean mainly, but I do a lot of the cleaning up and brushing, but the other two help me too, and Brody Meese and Grant Matthews will be helping me out with that this summer.
Did you have some animals at the school this year as well?
Oh, yeah, we have a lot of animals come through our animal lab. That's a really nice addition. It brings a lot of new kids down the egg room. They come down to see, like, puppies or babies, baby calves. Or I think we have pigs in, too. We had goats in last week.
Awesome. Is that a good recruiting tool for FFA when you bring the youngsters in there to see the room?
Yeah, so they come down, they see that, and they're just like, well, what's this? And then we kind of get them hooked, and they decide, well, this is cool. I want to keep going with this. And they work hard in class, and they want to keep going through eggs. So we have most of them coming through an egg class, so then they get picked up there too. And we'll get them out to the school farm doing stuff for horticulture or forestry. We were out planting trees for forestry and horticulture. We did some flower beds out at the school farm.
Good. And you sold some flowers this spring as well?
Oh, yeah. We had our pretty good greenhouse sales this year. I think we made around $7,000 off that.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, that's really good. So you had some outgoing board members. That's kind of always sad to see the seniors go, I'm sure, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But now this is your time to shine, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add here today, Carter?
Yeah, so this year we had 5 state degrees.
Oh, hey.
18 state degrees since 2021, which that's pretty good for a small school area. Then this year we had 4 American degrees, which is pretty cool because we haven't had one since 1999. And then this year we had 9 proficiencies, 5 golds, and 1 state finalist, which was Jordan Bumkamp in diversified egg production.
Congratulations to Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, you know, you're in here with the Ithaca FFA today. It's kind of nice. I mean, I think you make friends between the chapters too, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We work with Ithaca a little bit, but mostly we work with Highland with our Food for America. We have them come down and help with that too.
Okay.
And they bring some of their kids down, and they seem pretty, they enjoy our stuff down there with the school farm.
Mm-hmm. No fights or anything.
No. So. No.
Well, I know that you have finals that you have to get back to,
yeah.
Right? So are you all studied up? Are you in a good frame of mind here for the test?
Yeah, I got my note card ready. And
well, good. Well, we appreciate it. We got to let you go then. So, yep. Carter, thanks for coming in here today.
Yeah, thank you.
And representing, you bet. Carter Degenhardt joining us from the Riverdale FFA. We'll take a break and come back with more of our morning show in just a moment here. So we talk about FFA and the great things that are going on just ahead of the state convention.
Family Prescription Center, where your family comes first.
This is Paul from Prescription Center. For over 40 years, we have been a trusted member of the health care of our community. We've always been here for everyone. From West Seminary Street, where it all started, to the hospital, and now to Sexsonville Road, we have provided honest advice, low prices, and with the help of many of our friends, a pay-it-forward account to help those that can't afford their medication. We are humbled by the trust we have earned. We have always made every effort to make pharmacy affordable to all. We accept all insurances because you deserve to have your plan honored. The only area pharmacy to take TRICARE and CHAMP VA. What better way to say thank you to those who served? We thank all for their trust. If you want this type of service, let us be your pharmacy of choice.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Now is the time to make sure your vehicle is tuned up for summer. Hi, this is Sean from Sean's Auto Repair and Performance. We'll check your coolant, do a radiator flush, or give you that tune-up you need. Or maybe it's a new set of tires or an alignment. We can do that too. Whether it's cars, trucks, or SUVs, you'll get courteous, quality, professional service for imports and domestics. Call us now at 608-649-AUTO. That's 649-2886. Sean's Auto Repair and Performance, 184 East Mill Street, downtown Richland Center. People who care about your car.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Illicit fentanyl is the deadliest drug threat that our nation has ever experienced. It has killed hundreds of thousands. Many of its victims didn't even know they were getting fentanyl. Such a tragedy. This is Robert De Niro. One of those tragic deaths was my beautiful grandson, Leo. He was just 19 years old. Fentanyl doesn't care, but you do. Join us in the fight against fentanyl. Find us online at ladrfoundation.org.
When you switch to Progressive and bundle your home and auto, you could save hundreds, and that's a surprising amount of money.
Whoa, that's like farmer's market money.
That's like, give me a gallon of that locally sourced raw honey money.
That's certified organic heirloom tomatoes in every imaginable color except red money.
That's, let's get 2 pounds of pink oyster mushrooms money. I'm not even sure I like pink oyster mushrooms.
Guess it's time to find out, because you could save hundreds when you switch to Progressive and bundle. Then the world is your pink oyster mushroom. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates and other insurers, not available in all states.
Welcome back to the Morning Show studio on WRCO Radio. We are in the studio with some Ithaca FFA students, and we also have their advisor, Melissa Sprecher, in to join us. And again, thanks for inviting Carter and, you know, having Riverdale represented here today. That's awesome. So when you talk about some of the things that you do as a group, you do, it's kind of a family, whether you're, what school you're in, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. We try to do a lot of stuff together with the different chapters and help out where we can. Of course, every time we go to an event, you're, mingling and, talking about what's going on. And, like when you go to the county fairs and some different things like that, you're obviously, those kids see each other. And then outside of FFA, even in sports, we'll see these kids at different events. So yeah, it's great to, like lift each other up and, promote each other's chapters and stuff. It's about getting more getting more kids involved in FFA, and just trying to, get the word out, and whether they're in, the Riverdale chapter, River Valley, Richland Center, Ithaca, whichever school they're in, it's just to, get out all the awesome things that FFA does and just kind of help build that next generation of leaders, because that's super important that, we have these kids equipped to go out into the world and to be leaders, because one day, they're going to be the adults of the world. And so we want to get them trained in the right direction.
The thing of it is, it seems like there are a lot more opportunities than when I was in school. I mean, you have some of the same things and contests and things like that, but it's really expanded, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. So it always amazes me when I start teaching the history of FFA to my students. I usually start in seventh grade with them. And I talk about how it used to be, there was a black FFA chapter, and then there was the national FFA. And so because of, at that time, they couldn't have them together, because with the southern states, there was they didn't allow it. And so it was just interesting how amazed these kids are. They're like, what? Like, that's that, they came together and became one chapter. Okay, well, that's awesome. And then I'm like, yeah. And then girls weren't allowed to be in FFA till 1969. And then their jaws, they're like, well, why couldn't they? And I'm like, well, at the time when this all started, girls did home ec and boys did tech ed or agriculture, because the goal was to train them to go out to have jobs in those fields, and for to train girls basically to be good housewives. And it's just such a foreign concept, because things have changed so much. And one of the things that has changed is it used to be called Future Farmers of America. And we recognized that there's more to agriculture than just farming. And so we are now the National FFA organization, and we understand there's so many parts. And so we really try to include all those pieces of parts that are part of agriculture, whether it is through business, whether it is through marketing, whether it is through actually, doing the livestock part of it, through the grain part, whatever part it is that touches that agriculture, we want to make sure that we're able to be part, have those kids be part of that, expose them to that. I always love exposing kids to different career paths they can go down that isn't specifically like you're working in the field or you're working with animals or you're working at the local mill. There's so many other pieces and parts. Like, you know, working for a company where you're in the lab developing the next generation of seed. You know, some of those people never go out into the field. That's their job. They're doing the lab part of it. And so there's lots of opportunities out there. And so, yeah, FFA, every time that they add something new, it's to kind of either showcase or encourage kids to go into those different fields. And we have contests now, like you said, like there's, the ag sales, there's marketing contests, there are lots of opportunities out there. And the speaking contests are always really great. I always like to push the kids to go do those and to kind of go outside their comfort zone as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah, I did that back in the day. Yeah. So when you look at it, too, if you look back at a yearbook and you go back 50 years, mm-hmm. you're lucky to see maybe one, two or three young women mm-hmm. in the picture, you know, and now it's kind of flipped. Sometimes you see more women than the guys, right?
Yeah, it is interesting because, like I said, it was 1969 when they allowed women to be part of FFA. But now when you look at those leadership positions, there's a lot of leadership teams that are, strong, heavy on the side of more females than males. And I think our state officer team for the last few years has had more females than males, and like our local, Ithaca, same thing. And I don't have like an explanation of why that is, because I mean, obviously it's not like there's anything that favors, the women over the men to be leaders, but it is awesome to see that they have that opportunity to do that. And it is a great thing.
Your chapter, the last few years, you've really accomplished a lot. You've had some kind of unprecedented things happen, haven't you?
Yeah, we did. We really, when we got rolling, when I came over to be the FFA advisor, we had a great group of seniors that year, too, or juniors and seniors that really wanted to do a lot in FFA. So that helps a lot when you have those kids and really started bringing kids into FFA. And one of the things that we really set out to do was to really encourage kids to do the contest. So if you're going to be part of FFA, we wanted you to choose a contest to do where you could learn something new. And so it wasn't necessarily like, we're just going to sign you up and you're going to go. You actually have to practice and learn something about that. And I just remember one of the teams that I think is the most interesting is I had this group of four boys that had zero experience with poultry. Like they weren't even farm kids and they became the poultry team. And so they learned how to judge eggs. They learned how to judge chickens. They learned how to know what the different parts of the chicken is. And so it was just great that they learned. And those are all good real life experiences, like when you go to the grocery store to know what kind of meat you're buying. So we really pushed that to get those kids to try something new, to learn something new. But then also we started doing a lot more of the award applications. And we hadn't had an American degree since 1958. John Lewis, which many people in the area probably know, he was our last American degree. And so the American degree is one that less than 1% of all FFA members in the United States get. So it's a pretty prestigious award. Pretty lengthy application, and it basically covers everything that you've done through your FFA career, and they have certain guidelines of things that you've had to accomplish as far as like hours of education, time or money invested in your project, different things like that, community service, leadership, all these different things. So last year, my oldest daughter, Chelina, was our first American degree recipient since 1958. And again, because women were not allowed to be in FFA before, at that time, she was the first woman in Ithaca to get her American degree. And now this year, Josie Lau is our second one. So very, very proud of that. Proud of those girls. They worked super, super hard and just proud that they went through and did all that work for that. And then, of course, proficiency awards. Every year we come back and take back the applications and the comments from the judges and try to improve for the next year to, like I said, tell the story. I mean, these kids, they're doing the work. They're out there, they're doing it, and they're working hard. And it's great to see them rewarded for all the hard work that they do. But sometimes corralling them to sit them down to tell their story in a way that someone who doesn't know them understands what they're doing, that's the challenge. But they do it. And at the time, I know there's a lot of just like, oh, this is a lot of work. But then once they get done, it's great to see how well that they do. And I'm just so proud of them for doing that.
Very rewarding.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Josie Lau is in the studio with us as well. Welcome back. How are you, Josie?
Good. How are you, Phil?
Oh, wonderful. So how was that first year of college?
Good. I liked it a lot. Yes, SDSU has a very strong ag program. So it was cool to see a lot of kids with the same values and interests.
And you were on the rodeo team?
I was, yep.
How did that go?
Good. So we have a coach, and then we have about 50 people on our team. So it was cool to have like designated practices and meet all these new people.
Do you have a conference that you compete in?
Yep. So we're going up against different people from North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, and Wisconsin, and Iowa.
And how did the team do then?
We did pretty well. For my first year, it was cool. I made it back to some short goes, so that's like top 10 out of however many people are in that event. So it was cool to have a step up in competition and see all the environment and how it changed.
Now that you're in college rodeo, you're no longer eligible for the Wisconsin High School Rodeo.
Then, nope, right? I'm not, but I'll still be going to support.
I bet you will. That's coming up real soon.
Yeah.
So some things that you got from that. I mean, certainly that you've gained a lot of confidence through the years through rodeo, haven't you?
Yeah. There was a lot of events in high school rodeo, and I met a lot of people, and it was cool to push myself out of my comfort zone and just expand my knowledge.
I thought it was really an awesome thing last year during the Ithaca homecoming where they honored the past athlete and you got to ride. You were the only two, I think, that from Ithaca that were ever top female rodeo, right?
Yeah. So it was really cool to meet her and like go through the parade and just like hear all of her stories. And she had a lot of saddles, so it was cool to see that.
Awesome. Well, let's talk a little bit about FFA. And you're still involved. You still got an award possibly coming up later this year, don't you?
Yes. So I got gold, and I was the top five finalists for equine entrepreneurship. So it was a lot of documenting, and it took a lot of hours, but it was cool to look, like, once it was done, it was really cool to look back and see all of the stuff you did, and you're like, I never realized how much I did when you, like, write it all down, and you take your pictures, and, like, you analyze everything, and, like, you, even just, like, the tack, and, like, hauling to different places, it's really cool to, like, look back and have, like, kind of a record of all the stuff that you've done, and it's cool to see that, like, it can, I don't know, it was helpful. And like you're like, wow, I did all this stuff.
Living in the moment, yeah, you probably don't realize it. It's kind of a blur, I'm sure, isn't it?
Right. You're kind of just going from one thing to the next, and then you start adding it all up when you look back, and you're like, oh my gosh, I did do a lot.
So that's for the one year project, or is that like your entire FFA years, or how does that work?
Once you started your project. So I did mine, I think I started in like eighth grade, and then I just like continued to expand. So like I got a couple new horses, or I started training young ones, and like increased in like your tack and your feed, and you just kind of expand.
I'm guessing when you're in school and in South Dakota, you probably come across a lot of other FFA, former FFA members, don't you?
Yeah, I do, actually. Landon Thompson and I were just talking. He's like, oh my gosh, you know one of these people? I was like, yeah. Like, we met at school, and he's like, I went to FFA with, like, he went to conventions with her. So it's cool to meet a lot of ag kids, and there's a lot of FFA kids that were really strong in their chapters.
Will you be involved then? Will you go to the state convention next week then as well?
Yes, I will be there, yep.
Okay, and you get a chance for an award there?
Yep, and so we'll have a presentation, kind of like I'll do a board, and then people can come by and ask questions and kind of see what I've done throughout the year.
I know how you kind of got started. It's really in the family genes, isn't it? Being a horse person, right?
Yep. So my grandfather had a farm, and my mom and my uncle did a lot with it, and my sisters were involved with horses, and I was like, well, if they're doing it, I can do it. So getting involved. But I really didn't know a ton about FFA until Melissa pursued us in middle school, and I didn't even know they did like equine entrepreneurship and stuff like that. So it was cool to see all of the opportunities that FFA had, and like having a great advisor that showed you all of the information and like just was really good with like informing you. You could always ask questions. She was always there to answer, and that made it really helpful, and you got involved with a lot of different people.
Do they have to twist your arm a lot to be involved with horses then when you were growing up?
Not really.
No?
Nope.
So it comes naturally. What would you say would be your biggest accomplishment from your FFA days?
I think it was through entrepreneurship. I got to learn, like, I was using young horses and finally getting to show them and, like, displaying that I was, like, training them and getting to display that through this equine entrepreneurship. That was really cool to me to, like, look back on how far I've come and have these opportunities.
Was the biggest challenge the paperwork?
I would have to say yes. Like, writing down all of the details, it was a lot of work, but Melissa was helpful. She was like, well, this is how they set it up, and really good at advising and giving information.
Speaking of which, you would try to get some younger people involved in FFA. How would you advise them, or what would you tell them about the benefits of being involved?
I would say, like Melissa said, you don't have to come from an ag background. It's really good information to always have. Like, farming is really strong in Wisconsin, and I think it's cool information that you can go in so many different directions with FFA. It's not just like the beef industry or the horse industry. Like, they have all kinds of opportunities, and I think some people don't realize all of the like opportunities you have throughout FFA and how many places and directions it can take you.
Only the third person to receive the award we talked about, Talina did last year, and now and John Lewis, you know John Lewis way back in the day. It's quite an honor, isn't it?
Yes, it was. It was really cool. I wasn't sure about doing it. I was like, Melissa's like, you should try. And I was like, okay. We did a lot of paperwork. You had to talk about all of your accomplishments, all the awards, all the hours you put in. And you're looking back, you're like, oh my gosh, we did all this stuff all the time. But it was really cool and like quite an honor to have that accomplishment.
So someday, is South Dakota going to get you? Are you going to settle back in the area, or have you made that decision yet?
Well, I haven't decided yet, but I think I might spend one or two summers in South Dakota, but I'm not sure yet. It's nothing set in stone.
Putting you on the spot a little bit.
Yeah, well. That's all right.
But I think you'd like to be involved in agriculture someday, wouldn't you?
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Let's move over to Maggie Kirshner. We've kept her waiting long enough. I know she's been dying to be on the air with us this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Good to have you in here, Maggie.
Thank you.
How does it feel now to be a graduated senior?
Hasn't really hit yet. Kind of weird, but I think it'll hit more August when school's starting again.
Sure.
Moving to college and stuff. Yeah.
And where are you headed to college?
UW-Platteville for elementary education.
Awesome. We need more good teachers.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Is there a teacher that inspired you, Maggie? Maybe that you wanted to get into elementary ed?
I'd say I guess all my teachers through elementary have been great role models, so all of them.
All of them. That's mm-hmm. a good answer. So tell me about your project, and you're a top five state finalist. Congratulations.
Thank you. So I completed an SAE in equine entrepreneurship, and I earned a gold, and I placed top five for the state finalist.
Wonderful. And tell me about your project. How long have you been working on this?
So my project was a summary from sixth grade. It began just from then until now, throughout all the horses I had, including all my finances, my goals, activities, and hours I've put in with them.
That's a lot of work, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like Josie said, like, it's a lot. Yeah.
And horses are not cheap, are they?
Not at all. No.
So, nope. you had a lot. I bet it was an eye-opening thing when you started to document all of mm-hmm. the costs and everything, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. I've had a lot of support throughout the years. Grandparents, my parents as well, coaches. So, yeah. They've been very helpful.
And you were a part of the WEHA team. You guys had some success mm-hmm. with that, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah. We've made it to state many of the years. But, yeah, I wouldn't have accomplished much without my coach, Jenny Lau, and Melissa Sprecher for all the help.
Yeah, no doubt. So, you think you're going to be involved with horses through your years then?
I'm not sure what my future has with horses yet, but we'll see.
What would you say your biggest accomplishment has been through your FFA years?
I would say achieving all my goals with my horses, too, whether it's from, like, decreasing my barrel time, increasing a jump in a pattern, and, yeah, trail classes, going through more obstacles, earning trust with my horses. Yeah.
That's a big thing. There are a lot of variables, aren't there?
Oh, yeah. Every horse that I've owned had many different attitudes. They were trained differently. So I've had to adapt to changes throughout the years with all of them.
Right. You got to be a horse whisperer then,
yeah.
don't you? What about the favorite part?
My favorite part was probably all the skills I've gained and accomplishments I've made throughout the years. Like looking back through my SAE project, it has been a lot. And like Josie said, like, wow, like I did a lot. So yeah, it's been good.
And difficult, a difficult part?
I would say the changes with all the horses. Yeah, just adapting to change, all that. It's been hard, but I've learned a lot, so.
Did it take a lot of convincing to join FFA when you were a youngster?
I joined my freshman year, I believe, but I think my brother was in it, so, and Melissa pushed me to be in it, so.
Positive thing for you, hasn't
yeah.
it been? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
You've accomplished a lot. Do you have advice for youngsters that are still in school about getting into FFA?
Yeah, just step out of your comfort zone. Do things. Time goes by really fast, so just enjoy it all and never give up.
Good. So school starts in the fall, and then, would you possibly like to be involved in agriculture as well, like kind of on the side someday?
Yeah, I might have animals in the future, live on a farm. Who knows? I'm not too sure yet, but We'll see.
That's on down the road.
Yeah.
Good. Well, enjoy your summer, too.
Thank you. You too.
You bet. Maggie Kirschner joining us, and Annabeth Sprecher is here as well. She was able to make it here today, now that school's not in session. Well, congratulations, Annabeth. Can you tell us a little bit about your swine production project?
Hi, thank you for having me. As a lot of people may know, I grew up showing pigs. Started when I was at 4 years old because my sister was doing it. And then just ever since then, I've gotten older, I've just taken over more and more of the pig and showing aspect of it. So after this, I'll probably go home and walk pigs and rinse them because we do have a show coming up on Sunday. But I really just help more on the showing aspect, and then during the winter with helping with ferrying out pigs, a lot of late nights in the barns and early mornings, and once in a while having to check cameras to make sure no pigs are being born and going out when my mom doesn't want to and when I get told to, and then just watering pigs all the time, and then helping with feeding and walking every day. Oh, and picturing and videoing baby pigs. Takes a lot of patience and a lot of time.
I would guess. So I was a pig raiser back in the day. People always told me that pigs are really, really smart animals. Now, is this true? What would you say?
They're way too smart for their own good.
Really?
Some breeds are a lot smarter than others, too.
Huh. Now, that's interesting, because I never got that.
Oh, yeah. We have a couple that will find a way in like 5 minutes to get out of their pen.
But you work with other animals, so is it easy to train pigs and get them to do what you want?
I would say for the most part, yes. You just have to have a lot of patience with them, and it's kind of different with each pig, and each breed is a little bit different how you have to break them. But I feel like I can get a pig broke in about 2 days.
Wow.
It's pretty good. So it's probably better breaking pigs than it is cattle and sheep. I would definitely prefer it over them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. So you've won some awards here, gold and a sectional winner. Which one are you most proud of?
I'd probably say the sectional winning and being able to move on to state. I was third at state last year, so it's pretty cool that I'm also a state finalist this year for 2 years in a row.
And beef and poultry, you're involved in those as well?
Yes, I got a gold and a sectional winner for my poultry and a silver for my beef.
What's the difference between entrepreneurship and placement?
The entrepreneurship is where you own the animal and you have control like all of, over all the financial part. And then the placement is when you help like on a farm. So with my swine placement, I work for Century Oak Livestock, which is our farm with the pigs. But I don't own any of the pigs. I just work for them.
Okay, that's interesting. So you just finished your sophomore year. You have some goals coming up here for your junior and senior year as far as being an officer and those kind of things?
Yes, this coming year, I'll be a junior and I'll be the president for our FFA chapter, which is pretty exciting. I think we'll have a good officer team this year, and I'm excited to do a lot with them.
This is something that I'm guessing your mom wanted to do a long time ago. Did you have to get your arm twisted very much to be involved?
No. It's very willing to do this when we started the middle school chapter when I was in seventh grade. So I've been here since seventh grade doing a lot. And we did a Quiz Bowl team and a conduct chapter. I was kind of in charge of pushing those along.
How did you do on the Quiz Bowl team?
I think we made it to state 1 year, my eighth grade year, and then we made it to sectionals my seventh grade year.
Do you remember any of the questions, any examples of those?
I remember some of the dates. That's why I was kind of in charge of remembering, but not a lot.
You learned it at the time, right? So what would you say your biggest accomplishment has been so far during your young career?
I would have to say either winning Tamworth Barrows and being in the Camp of Champs at State Fair is pretty cool. And all my accomplishments for showmanship at the national shows.
Favorite part that you've accomplished so far?
Just having a relationship with every pig. I love my pigs. They're my life. And I just love being out in the barn and working with them every day. It's really neat to see how different personalities each pig has and how you have to show them differently, too.
What's the hardest part?
waking up in the morning.
I would guess that is true. That's probably true for all of us. Can you see yourself being involved in agriculture someday?
Definitely. I don't think I could ever let the show pig side of me go, so I'll probably definitely stay in that area. Not quite sure about the beef and sheep, but definitely somewhere in the agriculture.
Yeah, so you'd much rather train a hog then.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you have advice for kids that would like to go into this area?
Just put in the hard work. The late nights and early mornings will be worth it once you accomplish stuff.
Would you like to possibly wind up back in the area someday? Or
I don't know. There's too cold of winters up here for me. I like the warm weather.
That's true, very much. We'll come back with more in the morning show as we talk about FFA in the area here on WRCO's Morning Show.
We can't change the circumstances or magically erase the pain of loss, but we can listen and serve you with compassion and understanding at a time when compassion and understanding go a long way. I'm Darren Klingman of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Russian Center in Muscadet. Our promise to you is to be patient, considerate, and professional, serving you as you wish to be served. It's our priority since 1889 at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
June is Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder Awareness Month, a chance for all of us at the Richland Hospital and Clinics to remind sufferers you are not alone. PTSD symptoms can manifest through flashbacks, nightmares, insomnia, panic attacks, depression, and more. Any traumatic experience can trigger this disorder. If you are struggling with symptoms, please reach out to your primary care provider for an initial consultation. Help is available.
¿Está luchando con deudas o crédito? Neighborhood Housing Services of Southwest Wisconsin ofrece educación financiera y asesoramiento para ayudarle a mejorar su crédito, manejar deudas y planificar un presupuesto para comprar una casa. Struggling with debt or credit? Neighborhood Housing Services of Southwest Wisconsin offers financial education and counseling to help you improve your credit, manage debt, and budget for home ownership. Take control of your finances and plan for the future with our expert guidance. Call 608-647-4949 today to get started.
Are you looking for a meaningful way to give back to your community? Passages is looking for compassionate, motivated volunteers to join our team. We provide men, women, and children survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault with free, confidential services regardless of age, sex, or gender identity. We have a variety of volunteer opportunities available, from yard cleanup, donation sorting and organizing, and fundraising support, to shelter advocacy and survivor support. There are also a couple of larger outdoor projects that would be great for teams. Do you want to share a skill? We're also launching new life skills programming and are seeking volunteers to lead classes such as yoga, sewing, crocheting, cooking, meditation, grounding exercises, and more. Whether you're interested in direct client support or behind-the-scenes help, there's a place for you at Passages. Did you know that every hour you volunteer helps Passages meet its grant match? Learn more by visiting our website at passagesrc.com. and click on the I Want to Help tab. There you will find a list of opportunities and a volunteer application. Join us in making a difference, one life, one step at a time.
We wrap up our morning show today on WRCO Radio. In the studio with us today, Josie Lau, Maggie Kirshner, and Annabeth Sprecher, and their advisor, Melissa Sprecher. Melissa, it's just amazing how much work, how many hours went into some of these projects.
Yeah, absolutely. And like the girls had said before, when you get it all on paper and you look back, it's like, man,
like we all knew they did a lot, and I see it from the outside because I'm watching them do it all, but there's so many things that they did that I didn't even know that they did too. So like you said, you put it down on paper and you're like, they do a lot, and these kids aren't, that's not all they do either. That's the even more amazing part of it, is amongst doing all of that, they're still doing sports. You know, Joey's away at college and still able to do all this. You know, they have jobs. You know, they're involved in so many other organizations too, but yet they're still putting the hours in these projects. And I think Annabeth kind of touched on this a little bit, the late nights, because sometimes you don't get home till 8 o'clock at night and you still have to walk pigs and rinse them. And that's, you know, could be 2 hours, or you still have steers that need to get rinsed out and blown out and, you know, and taken care of. And everything needs to be fed. We go to pig shows on the weekends, and some, you know, what time we get up at sometimes 2 o'clock in the morning, and we're out the door by 3:30, do chores before we leave, and we get home at night, you know, 9-10 o'clock, and we still have to do chores. And in fact, one night we came home and we had baby pigs born, so we had to deal with that too. And so there's, these kids aren't just, you know, getting up at 6:30 and jumping in the shower and going to school and then coming home and, you know, relaxing back. They're involved. And so, you know, I'm very, very proud of all the work that they've done, but then also the work they did to show what they've done is pretty awesome.
Well, you've done a great job as an advisor. During the break, we were talking about you never stop learning about these things either, do you?
Yes, that's correct. So when I was in FFA, our advisor didn't have us do the proficiencies and things like that. So I had a very limited access to what I did in FFA just because I wasn't exposed to it. So when I became FFA advisor, I learned a lot about what FFA has to offer, which has been awesome. And I'm still learning. I'm still learning new things that they have to offer and ways to get kids involved in different ways. And like I was saying with these proficiency applications, the first ones we filled out, you know, they were pretty basic because we didn't quite know what we were doing yet. So I've been learning, and I try to go, you know, talk to other advisors and ask them, like, what do you do here? And what do you advise here? And, you know, as far as doing all the non-current inventory and the current inventory, and how do you get the numbers to all work and add up and make sense? And where do you put it into the program so when it comes out in the application, it looks right? And so, yeah, as the kids are doing the proficiency awards, I'm printing them off and, you know, going through and making, you know, like telling them, like, oh, you need to change this or add to this, or this doesn't sound quite right. And so they each have a folder and I make notes and then I send them out. And like Josie was just saying, when she's away at college, so I'd send her a Snapchat and I'd be like, okay, you need to change this. And so every day she knew when she saw my name, oh, doing something on the proficiency award today. So always learning. And I mean, I think that's part of life though, right? Isn't that the great part of life, is learning something new every day and then being able to share that with other people?
Yeah, very much so. You talk about, is there a program that is set up for this? I mean, I envision when you're talking about a 30-page essay, you're writing it out on a piece of paper, but that's not the case, is it?
No, that's a good idea, though. Maybe I shouldn't have them start out that way.
Yeah.
Josie's face right now. Yeah, so there's a program that the National FFA uses. It's called the AET, and basically you can go in there and track what you're doing so you can enter in. And I tell the kids, every time that you purchase something, go in and enter it in right away so you aren't trying to do it at the end of the year. Like, so you don't, you know, have to have like your shoebox of receipts to enter. But you're actually kind of doing as you go, and go in and enter all, like every time you do a contest, go in and enter those things. Every time that we have a meeting, those kinds of things, enter that in. But then when it comes to the essay part of the application, like we talked about, like, how did you get started? What are your challenges? What are your goals? Those are all in the application part. So yeah, they type those in, and then, you know, we go back and we, you know, make some edits to it, like whether it be, you know, make this sound better, or you need to spell these words out better, or make this make more sense, because to you it makes sense, but to a person judging, maybe it doesn't. So just teaching those skills as well. I mean, those are important skills, communication skills, because when you're in a job and something might make sense to you because in your head it sounds right, but when you to somebody else, that direction maybe doesn't make sense. So you're trying to teach them that clarification and, you know, good communication skills as well.
How did the poultry project go at Ithaca this year?
Oh, it went great. So that was super fun. Yeah, we had applied for and got a grant through Compere to have, I got an incubator and some brooders. And so we hatched 70 eggs and we invited the elementary school to be part of it. And so they would come down and check the incubator. Of course, not much is happening in the incubator because the eggs are just kind of rotating. But every day that they'd come down, we'd talk through them with what's going on in the egg today and what's happening. And then we had a poster where they could see a visual of what every day looked like. And then the babies hatched. So that was exciting. It was on a Monday. They actually were supposed to start hatching Monday morning. I went in on Sunday afternoon just to kind of check on them, and I could hear a couple little peeps going on, so I knew that we were already in hatching. And so, of course, as soon as I put an email out to the elementary teachers and said, hey, we have baby chicks, and, you know, we had kids down there. So I put the incubator actually out into the hallway, And it was amazing how many people just would stop by and look in to see, you know, they'd hear the chirping as they go by. And then we'd pull out the baby chicks. So we had them in the brooders. And then every day we'd bring the chickens out, the baby chicks out, and talk to the kids about, you know, the different breeds and how they start out and how do you know if they're a hen or a rooster. And yeah, it was a great experience. A lot of kids purchased baby chicks and took them home. And so, yeah, it was an overall great experience. We're excited to do it again next year. And I think we're kind of looking at maybe trying to maybe hatch in some turkeys, maybe some other poultry as well. But that was our first try at it.
Today is National Egg Day, by the way.
Oh, perfect. June, so yes. Nice. Which those are worth gold these days as
they
well.
They sure are. Josie, how long are you home for this summer then?
So I'm here for the summer, and then I'll probably head back around middle of August. So we start end of August for school, but I might head back and do, like, we have some practices and stuff. So I'll be back there and busy.
Do you travel with your horses back and forth?
Yep. So I haul our truck and trailer and then two horses. So it's a lot of driving, but I like driving, so it's fun.
Yeah, the horses are used to it by now, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What are their names, by the way?
So I have Dash and then Rainy.
Dash and Rainy. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, good luck in the next rodeo season. Do you do some in the fall then as well?
Yep. So we have a season in the fall, and then we take a break in the middle of winter so they don't make us rodeo through the snow, and then we start back up in March. So it's still kind of cold in March, but it's all of our rodeos in the spring are indoors, so it's nice.
What event is your event that you contribute to the team, or are you kind of in all of them?
So I'm in goats, barrels, and breakaway, but I would say my best event right now is goat tying.
Okay. Well, good luck with that in the new season.
Thank you.
And Maggie, good luck with you in the summer. Things are going well. Plans for the summer?
Mm-hmm. I have a steer also this summer, so I'll be working with him a lot, rinsing him morning, afternoon, and night. So
doing some work there and then getting ready for school.
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, well, good luck at Platteville. I know you'll do well. Absolutely. And Annabeth, do you get a nap during the day then or not?
We'll see if I get a nap today, but depending what time I get done with pigs, might not even be tired. Just keep going.
Give you that adrenaline. There you go. Yeah. All right. Sounds good. Well, Melissa, thanks for organizing this today. We've enjoyed talking with the students.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having us in, Phil. And so next week, Tuesday, the kids will have their displays on at the Lion Energy Center State Convention. So, and then at 2:00 at the general session, they'll be announcing who our winners are. So hopefully we'll have some news for you Tuesday night that we have some state winners.
That'd be awesome. Keep us posted.
Yes, we absolutely will. Thank you so much for having us in today.
You're welcome. Melissa Sprecher joining us, Ithaca FFA advisor, along with Josie Lau, Maggie Kirshner, and Annabeth Sprecher on today's morning show.
Got stumps? Call Titus Osborne today for a free estimate. With over 15 years of professional stump grinding and removal experience, Titus is insured and ready to handle your project. Don't let those stumps linger. Get the removal scheduled. Customer satisfaction is a must, and Titus is committed to providing fast, reliable, no-hassle service. Call 608-604-7757 now for all your stump removal needs. 604-7757. Titus Osborne, your go-to expert for stump removal.
Join the legacy at Scott's Industries, a proud family-owned business for 75 years. They're expanding and looking for dedicated team members. Enjoy competitive wages, benefits, and a $3 per hour night shift bonus. No experience necessary. Just bring your enthusiasm. Apply in person Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 810 East Nebraska Street in Muscadet. Or give them a call, 739-3171, to learn more. Scott's Industries, where opportunity meets tradition.
A&W. Try the new Island Cream Freeze for a limited time only. Refreshing starry lemon lime soda meets tropical flavors of passion fruit, orange, and guava, and creamy vanilla soft serve in a cool, sweet treat that's like a summer vacation for your taste buds. And then some.
Taste the tradition at A&W in Boscobel, where Highway 61 meets hometown flavor. Stop by and enjoy.
At participating restaurants, prices may vary. Tax extra.
Summer, summer, summer.
It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
The 44th annual Richland County Dairy Breakfast is coming up Sunday, June 8th at Schmidt Farms, located between Sextonville and Gotham, serving from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Guests will enjoy pancakes, sausage links, cheese curds, ice cream, and much more, all for just $5. Children 3 and under eat free, and the Kinshi Pedal Pool starts at 10 a.m. Parking is easy. Visitors are encouraged to park at the Rockwell lot on Peebles Drive in Richland Center and ride the free shuttle to the farm. It's a morning of food, fun, and community. Don't miss it. The Richland County Dairy Breakfast coming up on Sunday, June 8th.
Today's small business owners know just how much hard work is involved in starting and growing a business. But the challenges involved are not foreign to you. You're all in. Still, it doesn't hurt to have some good neighborly help. Like yourself, State Farm agents are also small business owners. This enables them to help you choose the right insurance coverage to fit your small business needs. So why not insure your small business with a fellow small business owner who also happens to be a good neighbor? Call, text, or stop by Julie Karen State Farm in downtown Richland Center. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center. ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Investigation underway following another deadly, chaotic day at an aid distribution site in Gaza.
The Hamas-run health ministry says at least 27 people were killed and dozens more injured after a mass shooting event near an aid distribution center in southern Gaza. The IDF saying this morning they fired shots towards suspects in the area who deviated from the established aid route, but they are reviewing the incident. This is the second mass casualty event in recent days reported near these aid distribution sites run by the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, a controversial